Productions, in association with the British Broadcasting Corporation, presents The Further Adventures of Sir Digby Spurred, starring Richard Johnson as Digby Spurred and Royce Mills as Hubert Carstairs. Cast of leading players: Alison Steadman as the Countess, Philip Voss as Kransky, Patrick Troughton as Mycroft, and P. Bassett Davis as the Littlest Pygmy, with Jeffrey Belden and Lockwood West as Snell and Curmudgeon. And featuring, in especially large letters at the end, Stephen Gripe as Count Laszlo Stroganov. The Further Adventures of Sir Digby Spurred is written by Paul Bassett Davis and John Gerald Colley, and produced by Seymour J. Turveydrop. Directed by Alan Sutherland Nixon.
Diary of Sir Digby Spurred, April the 2nd, 1933. I worked this morning at Spurred Towers with an overwhelming sense of ennui. A series of longer over breakfast further undermined my normal sang froid. With no plans for the day, I am consumed by a certain je ne sais quoi which threatens my very raison d'être. No. Badger?
Yes, sir.
Haven't we got a proper dictionary in the house? This blasted French-English phrasebook is driving me mad. I've just about had enough of this inactivity. Why on earth should one of the best brains of his generation, double first, crack marksman and international celebrity, be idling his time away in this miserable conservatory?
Actually, I'm quite happy here, sir.
Ugh, not you, Badger. I'm talking about me. Why doesn't anything exciting happen anymore?
Yodel-ho.
Good Lord. There's a Tyrolean peasant in full yodeling outfit outside the French windows.
I think, sir, you'll find it's your brother Mycroft in one of his legendary disguises.
Let him in, then.
Guten Morgen, mein Herr.
Good morning, Mycroft.
Oh, dear, you recognize me.
Instantly. What brings the president of the Royal Geographical Society to Tunbridge Wells? And why the lederhosen?
It's part of my cover.
Well, it's not doing a very good job.
Digby, this is no time for levity. I want to show you something. If we clear a space on your desk, I'll be able to show you the... Hey, what's this? Gentleman's disciplinary rubberware review.
Yes. someone keeps sending it in the post.
Yes. Yes, I've been sent a copy as well. Perhaps there's a tie-up.
There's rather a splendid one on page 4.
I mean a connection with what I want to show you. Take a look at this map. What do you make of that?
It's South America.
Well, that's the start. These red circles are the places where 23 British explorers have disappeared over the last 5 years.
I see.
These green squares represent the supposed distribution of rubber trees within the continent.
And these white specks?
That's dandruff. Stop scratching your head.
Oh, sorry. Why are you showing me this?
Because it proves conclusively that of the 23 explorers who've gone missing in the past 5 years, over three quarters have been lost in this turquoise patch.
Brazil?
Oh, yes, of course.
Missing explorers, eh?
I want you to go there and find them. It won't be an easy task. All I can offer you is sweat, blood, hardship, pain and money.
How much?
Pain?
Money.
£60,000.
It's a hell of a big job for one man.
I can't afford to finance a full expedition.
Well, chuck in the bus fare to Reading. And I'll get Carstairs.
A week has now elapsed since the Latvian potato farrago, the most traumatic and, God willing, the last of my ludicrous and undignified international adventures. Mataton has, having benefited from a course of electroconvulsive therapy, I have secured gainful employment as temporary assistant deputy curator of Reading Natural History Museum. The job has only one serious disadvantage.
Mr. Carstairs! We observe absolute silence in this museum. Will you kindly write a little more quietly?
Sorry. Her name is Mrs. Thrackett, a formidable woman of sour disposition. However, almost any price is worth paying for this refuge where I will never again be found by that expeditionary zealot, Sir Digby.
Carstairs!
Zealot. Spelled. What in God's name are you doing here?
Silence, please.
Pack your things, Carstairs. We leave on Wednesday for Brazil.
I'm sorry, Spade. I'm not coming. I found a perfectly comfortable niche for myself here. And the last thing I want is to risk my neck on one of your damn fool excursions.
I give you my word that on this occasion you will be perfectly safe.
Safe? I'm not even safe with you, Spade. One only has to be seen talking to you. And before you know it, the next thing that happens is... some master assassin.
Duck, for goodness sake.
I won't tell you again, gentlemen.
Quick, behind the brontosaurus skeleton. It's Bruno Kratzkin.
My soul. Laszlo Stroganov's brutal sidekick.
You can't escape me there, Mr. Spode.
Will you kindly lower your voice?
I'm sorry. You can't escape me there, Mr. Spode. That flimsy skeleton needs no protection against cold Balearian feet.
Throw something at him, Carstairs.
Throw what?
That stuffed monkey. Missed. Damn. If only I had some sort of weapon.
Yeah. It's his bone, old man. It's only a fibula. It's perfectly safe. Provides those structural...
Leave that skeleton alone, Carstairs.
What is going on here?
And so I make good my escape. I trust there are no broken bones, gentlemen. We will meet again, Mr. Spold.
Mr. Carstairs.
Yes.
Not only have you entirely demolished a complete brontosaurus, you have also thrown out of the window the only specimen of a white-haired South American rubber-sucking lemur in Britain. Naturally, you will have to replace it.
Oh, where on earth could I find one of those?
In the rubber forests of Brazil, which is exactly where we were going. Meet me tomorrow at that address.
Snell and Camutton, Tropical Outfitters, Bond Street. What's the use?
Mr. Spode, Mr. Carstairs, your order is just about to ready to collect. Mr. Snell and I were just testing your foodstuffs.
Very good, but I'm more concerned about the medical supplies.
Oh, yes, medical supplies. Well, they're in this sealed box, which should never be opened except for the...
testing.
Yes, testing. Now, what have we got here?
Ether.
Yes. Oops, the ether smells quite effective. But the laudanum looks a bit off.
Oh, the laudanum is still doing the trick.
Yes, I agree. For you, Mr. Carstairs?
No, thank you.
What's next, Mr. Snell?
Oh, I think this morphine's expired. Hold out your arm.
Oh, no. The morphine works splendidly. Oh, well, thank you very much, Mr. Spode. We've got all we need.
But have I got all I need?
I dare say you have. How much do we owe you?
You don't owe me anything. He's supposed to pay you.
Well, that sounds fair to me. Does it sound fair to you, Mr. Snow? Yes, it sounds fair to him. Poor fellow's tired out. You're the second Brazilian expedition we've kitted out today.
Talk along.
Now, I expect you'll be interested in some rubberware.
Certainly not. Quickly, Carstairs.
No. We supply to everyone these days. MPs, JPs, GPs, PCs. How about these skin-tight, thigh-length waders that I'm wearing?
No, thank you.
This extremely painful molding groin strap.
I say, that looks rather...
Come on, Carstairs. We have a boat to
Diary of Spode, 6th of April. 4 days out, weather choppy. Not being a natural traveller, Carstairs is looking a bit green around the gills.
Diary of Carstairs, April 7th. Intermittent squalls. Unlike poor old Spode, I do not suffer from seasickness. Excellent breakfast of bacon and eggs and toast. Spode, still on mineral water.
Diary of Spode, April 7th. Mineral water, my hat. Went upstairs for breakfast of grapefruit, double kippers, and lamb chops provençal. Carstairs stayed below.
Diary of Carstairs. Spode went upstairs to consign his breakfast to the deep. I stayed below. A charming fellow passenger, Baroness Romilla von Teutenberg, invited me to her suite for a private breakfast of fried eggs, kedgeree, quail's eggs, gammon steak, stuffed squid, hot buttered muffins, and a choice of sweetbreads.
Diary of Spode. Upon my return from a hearty breakfast of whole ox and suckling pig, I found that the enfeebled Carstairs had ignored my instructions for utter secrecy and was relating our plans to a glamorous European demi-mondaine who is far too sophisticated for his bluff sensibilities.
Diary of Romilla von Teutenberg. The old fools, both completely besotted with me, finally appeared for dinner, the first solid food since we left Southampton. I persuaded Spode to verify the itinerary I had obtained from Mr. Carstairs, despite the older man kicking me repeatedly under the table. Tonight, I have invited them independently to my suite, where I will execute the final stage of Count Laszlo's instructions.
May I come in? Oh, Baroness. I didn't realize you weren't dressed.
But I am. Do you like my negligee?
Well, I'll put it on and I'll tell you.
Your English are so quaint. Come over here. Put your feet up on the bed. I love the feel of rough tweed next to my skin.
That's not very
rough. Oh, look. Yeah. There's a loose thread in the, how you say, the turnips. A little tongue, like so.
Oh, I say, that's torn it.
How clumsy of me. Please, take those trousers off and I will repair them.
No.
Come along, I must insist.
Oh! Ah! Oh, I say, you're very strong for a woman.
Off they come.
Oh, I say, this is most irregular.
So is your underwear. Stay there. I will go in the lounge to repair them and be back in the twinkling of a jiffy. Mr. Spode, so sorry to keep you waiting.
What?
Can I pour you a gin sling?
Yeah.
Oh, what a fingers of butter. I have slung the gin all over your dinner suit. Best to take the trousers off.
No, I couldn't possibly.
Oh, yes. We are both men of the world.
Hang on. Where are you taking them?
Upstairs to the steward to have them cleaned. Don't go away.
Baroness! Baroness!
Baroness! Baroness! Is that you, Baroness?
Stowed. Carstairs, where are your trousers? I was walking on deck and a freak gust of wind blew them off. What about yours?
I was doing the old exercises next to the porthole. And I drafted swordfish. It leapt past, snagged his bill in the back pocket there. Why are you in the Baroness's cabin?
I came to inquire if she could recommend a good tailor on board ship. How about you?
Oh, I've just dropped by to borrow her needle and thread. So where is she?
No idea.
Neither am I.
Yes, madam. Can I help you?
Pastor, I want to send an urgent message by telegraph.
Very well.
To Count Laszlo Stroganov, the ancient Vatican temple on the Popo River, Brazil. The message reads, Spode, Digby, West, 32, inside left, 32. Carstairs, Hubert, West, 45, inside leg, 23.
Time. Okay. Diary of Spode, April the 20th. Disembarked at Rio. Still no sign of the Baroness. Re-equipped at Tropical Trouserers, Snell Curmudgeon International, then Carstairs and I set off by narrow-gauge railway for the small town of San Theru. It seemed as though the primitive jungle folk from miles around had converged there to sell their local produce.
Want to buy my sister?
No.
My sister's friend?
No, thank you.
My sister's donkey?
No.
My sister's donkey got a nice friend.
Tell him to leave us alone, Carstairs.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Perhaps I can be of assistance. There is a simple knack to dealing with these persistent native pups.
Thank you, stranger. I say, haven't we met somewhere before?
I don't think so, Mr. Spode. Now, how many girls were you looking for?
We're not looking for girls.
Ah, you prefer donkeys?
No, we want to go up the river.
By donkey?
By steamer.
All my donkeys steam. It's a special feature.
Look, for the last time, we're not interested in animals.
A pity. I was going to direct you to Captain Van Hooligan, the gin-soaked Dutch expatriate. He'll sail you up the river. I mean, sail you up the river. His boat is usually moored at the end of the wharf.
Ah, you don't suppose he meant that rotting hulk half submerged in driftwood at the end of the jetty?
Yes, that's the captain, all right, but where's the boat?
Well, that's the driftwood. Ahoy there!
Who's there? Come aboard! Ah, it's you, Marito, my little Dutch tuna. Come for a glass of Geneva on the nicest guy I am. Mr. Rembrandt will be there with his famous ear.
Do you think this man's had jungle fever?
Several bottles by the look of it.
Now then, Captain, can you leave immediately?
But we've only just met.
Now pull yourself together. I have a proposition for you.
Oh, not interested in donkeys or other way.
Neither am I. We're looking for some lost British explorers, and I want you to take us up the river.
Up the river? That's as much as my life's worth.
How much is that?
$20 and a crate of Geneva.
Done.
Start up the bilge pump. Put up the anchor. Light up the boiler. Now I put in the plug. And away we go.
Open up! I haven't got all day!
Romilla, you're just in time to observe one of our charming rituals.
Who is that poor man strapped over the ancient stone bidet?
That's Colonel Bluff Fortescue, my last size 32 lost British explorer. Acolyte, hand me the sacrificial razor.
Are you going to tear his chest open and rip out the living heart?
Oh, certainly not. I'm going to shave his legs.
Oh, stop it. I demand to see the British consul. Stop it.
Look. What fine tapered cards. This bodes well for the final ceremony. Anoint this man with the sacred pig statue.
I don't want any.
And you, Romilla, follow me down into the interior of the temple. These ceremonies give me vertigo.
An impressive setup, Count Laszlo. How much do you charge for a haircut?
It's no laughing matter, Romilla. The ceremonies you have just witnessed are vital to the success of my brilliant master plan. These savages have grown to believe that I am actually Pacabac, the ancient rain god of their legends, who has divine powers to repel water. Later, I will show you the factory where I ran up this latex body stocking, which allows me to fulfill their prophecies. And it is there, Romilla, at the heart of my operation, that the eventual downfall of the entire British Empire is being accomplished. Now, what news of Stowe and Carstairs? I've been needing them very shortly.
Don't worry. They're just where we need them.
Let us bring the dead we will bring again. Cure it from Amsterdam.
Captain Van Hooligan, you've been in that hammock for 2 days now. Do you have any idea where we are? We seem to be going downriver.
Let me get my bearings. I doubt you. Do you hear that sound?
Waterfall.
Gaia! The legendary Orofoco Falls! A sheer 500 feet. He'll be going over it in just a moment.
What? We're in a dodging man. Steer for the shore. Use the rudder.
I already used it. Like the boiler.
Right. There's nothing else for it. Just as.
Yep.
For your life.
Wait for me!
Diary of Spoke, 25th of April, bicentenary of the invention of the bicycle clip. I executed a perfect swan dive into the murky waters of the Oripopo River only to find them already occupied by piranhas. I immediately struck out for the shore.
Diary of Carstairs. Spode made the cardinal error in dealing with piranha and began thrashing about in all directions. Luckily, my own Boy Scout training had taught me to remain perfectly still.
Diary of Spode. Poor Carstairs, rigid with terror, sank like a stone. I feared that the piranhas would make short work of him.
Diary of Carstairs. The dense weave of my thorn-proof Harris tweed suit confounded the piranha, but quickly became waterlogged. Reluctant to take it off, I grasped at the nearest floating object and hung on for dear life.
Diary of Spode was making good progress until some half-submerged impediment ensnared my leg. As I went under, my entire life flashed before my eyes. Was I really in that spot, eh? Just as I lost consciousness, I was grasped by a pair of strong arms and hauled ashore. And standing over us, a familiar figure.
Oh, gentlemen, I'm glad to see you've survived your little ordeal.
Romilla von Tuttenberg.
The very same.
How can I ever thank you for saving us? And may I say how alluring you look in that torn ball gown and fishnet stockings? Still with the fish in them, I see.
Yes, my clothes are a little damp. In fact, I think I'll take them off.
Oh, no, no. Please, madam, I beg of you.
No, Mr. Caster. I think you will find this interesting.
In fact,
as I see the gown
from my shoulder, you will see that you're a man. Precisely.
And not just any man. It's Bruno Kransky, European hoodlum, master of disguises, and degenerate aide-de-camp to Count Laszlo Stroganov.
Who is waiting for you at this very moment in the lost city of Amontillado. Come with me, please, gentlemen.
And if we refuse?
Then you will surely disappoint this vicious triangle of the victim. See you then.
The secondary coagulant is prepared. Lower the pulleys. Now, tie the explorer to the dipping rack.
Look, I say, this has really gone too far.
If he struggles, use mindless violence. Oh. Good. Now bring him over the boiling latex.
Master.
Kransky, or should I say, Romilla? And I see that our guests have arrived.
Stroganov. But this is impossible. With my own eyes, I saw you being shot through the head in Latvia.
Ah, a remarkable stroke of luck. The bullet passed clean through the ventricles of my brain without touching any vital structures, which is how I survived to embark on this unique episode in the history of garment manufacture. Observe.
Good Lord. Isn't that Colonel Blavatsky?
Indeed it is. And why the devil have you got him hanging over that vat of bubbling latex?
Because, Mr. Spode, it is the most efficient method of producing the range of gentlemen's disciplinary rubberware with which, through the good offices of Messrs. Snell and Curmudgeon, I intend to subvert the power structure of the English ruling class.
Now, this is monstrous use. Why, Stroganov? Why use a shaved Englishman?
Because, Mrs. Bode, the unique contours of the English upper class physique are impossible to reproduce artificially. You see these latex-covered pygmies? Completely useless. But we've wasted enough time. And lower the explorer! Oh, no!
Yeah, the latex was too hot, Master. The explorer has disintegrated.
My last size 32. Oh, I was hoping he'd last another 10 dippings at least. Well, Mr. Spode, it appears that you will be needed sooner than I anticipated.
At least 3 casters, you fiend. Anything you make from him will be unsaleable.
You might, Spode. Nonsense. He's just the right shape for my new range of barrage balloons. Kransky, take them below to the boiler room and lock them up. While you're down there, readjust the furnace.
Yes, gentlemen.
I'm sorry about the unseasonal heat, but you may as well get acclimatized. No escaping now, Mr. Spode. I can see you casting a hopeful glance towards the window. But if you look out,
You will see that it overlooks the sheer drop to the bottom of the Horikoku Fall. There is no means of reaching the opposite bank.
Yes, Kransky, we're completely beaten. And I must say, it was largely due to your brilliant impersonation of Romila von Tuchenberg. Tell me, how did you manage to transform yourself so convincingly?
It's a psychological trick, Mr. Ford. I think myself into the role of a wee,
defenseless woman. Then?
By pulling in my way?
Expanding my chest and standing on my tippy toes like so.
Quick, overpower him, Carstairs.
Oh! Oh!
Ouch! Use your belt.
Release me, you fool. If I don't turn these burners down in 2 minutes, the latex reservoir will overheat and the entire temple will explode in a seething mass of molten rubber.
How very messy. We must be going.
But how, Spode? The temple is bouncing with pygmies and the window would be suicide.
Not if we utilize the contents of this crate. See? A consignment of latex body stockings ready for shipment.
This is no time for that sort of thing, Spode.
If we tie 3 of them together...
Yeah.
And then attach the ends to the window. We have a powerful catapult. You first, Carstairs.
Yeah, wait!
And now me. Goodbye, Kransky.
No, wait! The boy lost
the deck.
All right, Carter.
Yes, I think you killed a small animal in my fall, but otherwise...
Well, we certainly put Count Laszlo out of business this time. He'll be somewhere in that hideous stew of vulcanized remorse that's dripping over the cliff. I say, what's that you're sitting on?
I say, what a stroke of luck. Unless I'm mistaken, this build is a rather flat, but otherwise intact, white-haired, rubber-sucking South American lemur.
Good man.
The End. Copyright Rogue Mail Productions, MCMLXXXV.